This episode of the Inner Hole Uprising is sponsored by Dipsy and BetterHelp.
Welcome to the Inner Hole Uprising,
the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist hoe who lives in New York City and whose pronouns are she and her.
Me, Rodeca, a fat, black, pansexual who probably cries too much and uses humor to distract everyone from the fact that we are currently in the darkest timeline, and my pronouns are she and her.
Akua, pronouns she and her, a sexually fluid black mama.
There you go.
I love it.
That's a porn, unfortunately.
Black mama's being sexually fluid.
Oh my gosh. And I am Rob, one pansexual, pansexual, agender, feminist with the fatty pronouns they, them, and daddy.
Nice. For the new year, we're switching things up. Many of you do not like interview episodes as much as you like group episodes. So for the top of the year, we are hitting you with all group and all duo episodes. For new listeners, that means myself and my lovely rotating co-hosts will be talking about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally, we'll be hitting you with interviews with insightful folks. This episode will be speaking all about the life and times of Bayard Rustin, the black gay civil rights leader who was arrested 70 years ago just for being gay, cute dates for film nerds and history buffs, lackluster contemporary art by white people, how rape culture hurts men, sexuality and depression, sexuality, weight and body image, and much more.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoeUprising so we can see it and the hashtag PodIn so other people can see it.
And if you would like to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, we would love to. So to book us, you can send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Now we're going into Hoe of the Week. Our hoes of the week this week are Terrell J. Starr, who upped his Patreon pledge from $5 to $10.
Is it Terrell or Terrell?
It's T. Ray Ray. Whoa. It's T. Ray Ray J. J. Starr. I don't know. I'm sorry. Terrell or Terrell.
I just also just never read the name like Terrell.
Oops. Sorry.
It's T. Ray Ray.
Star.
This came out we love so, you
so well.
Oh man, Stan's in planning to say that.
That's what I call myself in my head. I'm T. Ray Ray. Also, shout out to Rayma, Ash, and Tawana, who joined me on the first ever Patreon live stream this past Monday. So $5 and up patrons get to kick it with me every other Monday, where we chat shit about sex in the world. Last week, we spoke all about data privacy and dating apps. It was super fun and informative conversation. So if you want to join that, that is for $5 and up patrons. And the next one will be on February 10th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. The link to our Patreon is patreon.com/innerhoeuprising, and the link is also in the show notes. Also, shout out to Dime203 for being very active on SoundCloud. If you don't know, SoundCloud actually isn't where we host the show, but we pay extra money to have the show hosted on SoundCloud very specifically to keep a platform for folks to comment on their desktop computers. So if you do listen to us on SoundCloud, we really appreciate your SoundCloud comments.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Boom. Boom, 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 boom.
Do you need a break? Boom, boom, boom. A break from your boom, inbox, that never-ending boom, laundry cycle, boom, boom, or the exhausting boom, amount of social media? Boom, boom, boom. It's time to prioritize a little me time to help you recharge. Boom, 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 and Dipsy can help you focus on something more pleasurable than whatever boom, is left boom, boom, on your to-do list. Dipsy is an audio app full of short, sexy stories and guided sessions that are designed to turn you on and help you get in touch with yourself. The stories are relatable and immersive, so you feel like you're right there. And there's something for everyone, whoever and whatever you're into. They add new content every week, so there's always more to explore. Find stories about a spontaneous hookup with a hot stranger, getting closer with that sexy yoga instructor that you can't stop thinking about, or even stories about trying that new toy together or getting tied up. The guided sessions can also help you unlock new confidence or heighten intimacy with your partner. This year, try a new way of getting turned on with Dipsy. And for listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering a 30-day free trial when you go to Dipsy. And for listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/IHU. That's a 30-day free trial when you go to D-I-P-S-E-A, stories.com/IHU. dipsystories.com/IHU.
So anxious, meet me at 11:30. Love when you're talking dirty. Said I'm so, so anxious.
Alright, now let's get into our first segment of the day. It is called
Fuck That,
and it is our current event segment. And today, since this is the first episode of Black History Month, we'll have a Black History Month themed story.
Yay!
So thank you. I really needed that. So California lawmakers have asked the governor to posthumously pardon gay civil rights leader Bayard Rustin. So maybe let's get a little bit into Bayard Rustin and then we can talk about this movement to pardon him. So Bayard Rustin, in case you're unaware, was an American leader in social movements for civil rights, socialism, nonviolence, and much later in his life, gay rights. He worked with A. Philip Randolph on the March on Washington movement in 1941 to press an end to racial discrimination in employment. He organized freedom rides, which were bus trips to protest segregated bus terminals. He helped to organize the Southern Christian Leadership Conference to strengthen Martin Luther King Jr.'s leadership, and he was probably best known for serving as the organizer for the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. So in addition to being a civil rights leader, Rustin was trying to get his cheeks clapped or clap other people's cheeks, like many of the rest of us. So in 1953 in Pasadena, California, he was actually arrested for sexual activity with another man in a parked car. I've heard other sources that say that there were two men with him in the parked car.
Nice. Either way, yeah,
we stand group
that
sex.
Is, but in a car, that's so hard to maneuver.
I mean, the other person just could have just been in the car.
True.
Yeah. Oh, he could have just been in the car voyeuring.
Yeah.
I like
there's
it.
a lot of different variations. Yeah.
You know, sometimes they used to be able to like put the back seats down in those old type cars.
So one is sitting on the face, field day up in there. One is sitting on the wee wee. That's what I'm here for.
Let's direct a Bayard Rustin porno. No, I'm kidding.
Wow. That went way too far.
Sorry.
No, it wasn't far enough.
So originally he was charged with vagrancy and lewd conduct and pleaded guilty to a single lesser charge of quote unquote sex perversion. At the time, sodomy was officially referred to in California as sex perversion, even if it was consensual. Wow. And sodomy as in, you know, butt sex. Or yes. Gay sex. And he served 60 days in jail for that. This was the first time that his homosexuality came to public attention. So because of this sex perversion charge, he spent his whole life as a registered sex offender.
Wow. I was going to ask that.
Yeah, and this like resonated throughout his entire career. And I think also resonated, just like the fact that he was gay in the first place, resonated throughout how history rewrites him, because he's oftentimes left out of conversations regarding that era and history regarding that era. The charge actually caused him to resign from something called the Fellowship of Reconciliation, which is an interfaith pacifist group. And the leader of that group was like, I just really don't fuck with you no more, man, which sucks. And then in the early 60s, the 1960s, Representative Adam Clayton Powell Jr., who was a Democrat at the time, was sent by Democratic leadership to discourage the March on Washington. So he used the fact that this charge was like, because, you know, when you have a charge, it's public record, so anybody knows this specific thing about you. So they knew that he was gay. So Adam Clayton Powell Jr. threatened to spread rumors that Bayard Rustin was having an affair with Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. That was such a wild time in American history. Like, all of MLK's business and, like, I guess the business of other people's around him, and, like, fake news was, like, just being spread. Yeah. Yeah. Martin Luther King, after advising with a couple of his other advisors, was actually like, yeah, I'm going to distance myself from Rustin. And Rustin, like, that hurt him because, Martin Luther King was so steadfast in his beliefs and never unwavering. But on this topic of, like, oh, you know, this guy is gay, he actually did waver for that one of the first times in his career.
That's that internalized homophobia. Mm-hmm.
There you go. And then, so they did ice him out, and then Powell still tried to stop the March on Washington. And one of Martin Luther King's advisors, named Clarence Jones, told Powell, this is a direct quote from History Channel, told Powell if he went to the media with the fabricated rumor about Martin Luther King Jr., he would litter Harlem, the district that Powell represented, with posters and pictures of all the women that Powell had slept with.
Wow.
So he was like fighting fucking.
Doing some crazy
shit. It was the shade room.
Yeah, exactly.
Of the civil rights movement.
Literally Instagram.
Yes.
Like, there's a lot of wild shit going on. But yeah, it's the general consensus that Rustin doesn't pop up in these stories about civil rights because he was gay.
Mm-hmm.
His later years, so he did like a bunch of stuff in his life, and his politics ebbed and flowed, and he did things. I read about those things. Somebody make a movie about him. But for the purposes of this segment, I want to get a little bit into how gay rights popped up later in his career. So he actually didn't get into the gay rights movement until much later in his life. Here's a quote from him. He says, I was not involved in the struggle for gay rights as a youth. I did not, quote unquote, come out of the closet voluntarily. Circumstances forced me out. While I have no problem with being publicly identified as homosexual, it would be dishonest of me to present myself as one who was in the forefront of the struggle for gay rights. I fundamentally consider sexual orientation to be a private matter. As such, it has not been a factor which has greatly influenced my role as an activist. He said that in 1986. He died in 1987. And I thought that was like, well, that was interesting to mention. And it makes me think of a lot of other civil rights leaders or people in history that might have been queer that we don't know about, because mm-hmm. it was like not a safe time to come out.
Mm-hmm.
So at the time, like, he got arrested because, like, having gay sex was a fucking crime. Yeah. And then also the same year that he was arrested, President Eisenhower issued an executive order saying that gay people wouldn't be allowed to work federal jobs.
Wow.
The order was, I think it was repealed like a couple of months later, but just that kind of environment. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, the fact that that even came.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Then he had a weird speech also in 1986. So he like wasn't really interested in joining, or he didn't really make any efforts to join the gay rights movement, but did so because his partner at the time, I think that guy's name is Walter Nagale, he's still alive, encouraged him to do so. He's a white gay man. New York was petitioning for a gay civil rights movement, gay civil rights legislation. I don't remember what the exact legislation was, but when Rustin was petitioning for it, he made a speech called The New Niggers Are Gays.
Okay.
And basically the point was that, like, the niggers, that's us, have advanced to a point where the new people who need
are being
oppressed, yeah, are
gay
people.
But
yeah.
but he black and he gay,
and that's why I'm like, I think it's interesting to bring this up, because all of our leaders are nuanced and all people are nuanced, and niggas is not correct 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. That doesn't like take anything away from his work that he has done.
Yeah,
he just
got
weird.
How he separated that.
That's why it's interesting, right?
Yeah, like,
that's why
what
it's interesting.
What was the thought process?
I don't know. He was also kind of old. He was like in his mid-70s at the time, so he might have just been like, nigga, I don't care. My husband
shit.
Asked me to position this shit. I'm going to position your little
just
shit.
Just do it just so
and
the nigga leave me alone.
I'm going to go clap his cheeks. Here's another interesting fun fact. I think his partner was 30 at the time, and he was in his 70s.
Oh.
And he actually adopted his partner while he was 30 because gay marriage was not legal at the time, but he wanted like a binding thing after he passed away.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's kind of nice.
I've heard stories of that prior to, you know, the legalization of gay marriage.
They were adopting people?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that there's like familial ties so that they can have inheritance and things like that.
Because marriage is a binding legal contract, but so is parent-child relationships.
And now let's bring it to 2020, the year that we're in.
The year of our Lord.
The California Legislation Black Caucus, as well as the Legislative LGBTQ Caucus of California, have called on Governor Gavin Newsom, also a Democrat, to posthumously pardon Bayard Rustin for the 1953 conviction. He has not done it yet. He said he would closely consider the request. In a quote, he said, "In California and across the country, sodomy laws were used as legal tools of oppression. They were used to stigmatize and punish LGBTQ individuals and communities and warn others what harm could await them for living authentically." So that's that story, and that's where it stands. He is not currently pardoned. But I think it's interesting and relevant and good that they called for this in the first place, because it brings back the story of Bayard Rustin, and now we can talk about it on the show.
I know they have a there's a high school in New York City named after him.
It's
in Manhattan, like by 14th Street, and a lot of queer, genderqueer people, at least when I was in high school, they went to that school. I dated a couple. Everybody, even if they weren't queer or genderqueer, they were just very eccentric. A lot of them were like really into fashion. So even in high school, they just like kind of wore what they wanted to wear or whatever. And I had no idea who Bayard Rustin was, except that I knew that he was a gay nigga. That was kind of my limited scope. I wonder if having sex publicly is still considered like a lewd act.
Because
I know that if you have sex in certain places,
you can
be registered as a sex offender.
Yeah, if you're like near a school or something.
Yeah, even though, of course, I'm sure that it was a lot of it was homosexually driven. But I hope that like the consideration of that wouldn't hamper such, even though, fucking in a car is like, depending on where you parked at.
Yeah.
But you know, they probably, I mean, if he was into anything civil rights, I'm sure he was very much under the radar. So that was like a good opportunity to really hit him down. Cause you know, when you're a sex offender, you're so limited to the places you can go and the things you could do, and especially things you could say, cause you can misconstrue that in general.
I think it is illegal to have sex like outside, period.
Yeah. Still. But I mean, I don't know if
it's 60 days of jail.
Yeah, exactly.
And then being like registered as a sex offender.
Yeah, it's not that.
I think a lot of the registered as a sex offenders, if you have like sex like in a public park.
Yeah. We love you, Bayard Rustin.
All right, let's go into our next segment, which is called Fuck Me. And it's the segment about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives.
So I realized the other day that for the first time, I think ever, like period, I'm not like on some weird crash diet thing or something where I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I'm not eating this or I'm not restricting that and et cetera, like
virtual hug.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah. I guess it's like, obviously in my intro I'm talking about being fat or whatever, but it's like, it's hard because we live in a society. I felt myself saying it, so I had to. It's hard because it's just, you know, body image is everything a lot of the time. You're looking in the mirror and you're thinking to yourself, like, oh, what can I change, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, I was just like, nah, bitches is hungry out here, man. Like, I just want to, you know? And it's kind of been interesting because I am learning to embrace myself in ways that I never have before, where I'm just like, why am I upset? Why am I even trying to change certain things? Like, be comfortable and trying to be, I don't think that I'm insecure, but I think that like anybody else, I have moments and I feel genuinely like I'm embracing being fat, which is like kind of awesome. Cause it's just, it can be so overwhelming to constantly think about what other people are thinking about you, or just like eating is this big struggle of like, this relationship with food. You feel guilty when you're eating like everyone else. You feel guilty when you're not eating. It's like, but the other day I was just like eating some fucking, what was it, halal food, having a great time. And I was like, wait, I haven't even been thinking about any of this stuff. Mm. And I've gained weight, but I'm just like, fuck it, you know? And like sexually, I feel more liberated as well. I feel like I wasn't like, this is funny, I wasn't like sitting on people's faces because I'm like, I don't want to hurt you, you know what I mean? Even though that's been a request, and
if
I'm
he
like,
dies, he dies.
Yeah, I know, but and like you, and like it's easy to say certain things, but to actually live by it, you feel weird, like, and I'm just sitting on faces now, you know. Yeah. I'm doing my thing.
It's, that's it's, an episode title, yeah. Potential. I'm just sitting on faces.
I really feel like being on this show, I feel like, as cliche as it sounds for a fat woman, Lizzo is like an inspiration a lot of the time.
That's not cliche. That's real shit.
Yeah. I don't know, because a lot of people are giving her shit, and I'm like, nah, they fucking fuck everybody. Yeah. Like, I don't even understand how good it feels to like see somebody. I'm just like, I see her and I'm like, we have a similar body shape. I'm like, all right, sis, I see you out here. The ass thing at the basketball game, maybe not, but still, like, other times I'm like, just because it was just like not even a cute dress. It's the only reason why I didn't like it.
It was me.
I was only mad because it wasn't cute.
I was like, Lizzo, you could have done that, but I've seen you. If you want your ass out, I'm here for it. But that was a t-shirt you cut some holes into, bitch.
That's why I was
mad. And I was upset because you could do better. But
and that's exactly
continue.
Put your ass out in something else. I was like, y'all should all just be mad because it's a hole in a dress. Like, not even, you know, I've seen like, how many people's asses.
It was like 5 minutes before she was like, you know what, this needs some holes. Yeah. And someone took some scissors.
Circle. Yeah.
And that
made
was
no sense.
It.
But seeing her out here, not giving a fuck, seeing her on the cover of magazines, I've seen her ass probably as many times as I've seen my own ass at this point. So, and then just like, it's like normal, and it should be normal because this is a body that I've been in my entire fucking life. So now it just feels, I feel like I'm actually living the truth of like, yeah, I'm fat and I don't give a fuck. So it's good.
Yay.
It's a good time.
Yay. Thank you for sharing that. I'm so happy for you. It's
I
a
have
journey,
a question.
Man.
Yeah.
So what in your journey through life recently help you become more grounded in yourself?
It's gonna sound, and I think it's over.
Whatever
me
you say is okay. We don't care.
It doesn't matter how it sounds.
I've been kind of grappling with mortality in general.
What's grappling?
Grappling. Sorry, that's not even a fucking word.
Grappling.
Grappling okay. With my mortality in general. I had a friend pass away last week, and
sorry.
Then the whole thank you, and then the whole Kobe thing, and just in general, it's just really, really been on my mind, and I'm like, I want to be healthy, don't get me wrong, but that's not always necessarily associated with like being fat. I think I need to take that correlation away anyway. So
right.
I just felt like, why am I unhappy or like trying to change so much about myself when I'm always going to be me? And even like, it doesn't matter. I guess it matters, but it's also like, I just want to be happy and like, do things that make me happy and not have to worry about certain things, because I just feel like there's so little time, and it's like, I will try and be healthy so that like I'm not old and like hurting.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, in terms of just like it associated with like this vanity that I feel like a lot of the time, I just can't do it anymore because it's all I think about. You know, I'm walking around thinking everybody's looking at me and this side and forth, and I'm tired of it. So it's that, yeah, and just trying to be happy with who I am.
You love to see it.
I dig it.
I'm very happy for
thanks,
you.
Thanks, y'all. Thanks.
My question is, at what point did we start sitting on faces?
Very recently, actually. Yeah. You know, after you go to a sex party, it's kind of like, I'm not going
to
come back
everything.
And be shy, you know? Like, I'm
so was that the first place?
No. I had tried before, but I got more comfortable with sitting on faces when I broke up with Bryce, because I was just like, let me just try some sex shit. And mm-hmm. I had like random sex with people, and I was just like, I don't know if I'm ever gonna see this person again, and they act, so I'm gonna do it. And mm-hmm. that's what made me start doing it. And I was like, that person didn't die and that felt good, so I'm gonna do it again. So
and you realize it's like literally
it's a different angle.
Yeah.
And
you could control it.
It's a good time.
It's like you can literally just put your tongue out and I could do the work.
Yeah.
And the only way I'll kill you, because anybody could kill somebody if you sit on their face long enough.
Exactly.
And it has to be one whole cheek covering both orifices right here. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think sex has gotten better for me too because I'm not like worried about anything. I'm just like,
that's,
you know.
Great.
Yeah, when I lost weight, because I lost like 60 pounds, but when I had lost weight, like my boobs, they're gone. They're just like, they're in here. But they're being held up and like they kind of deflated. And that was something I was really insecure about too. But now we swinging out here.
Titties be tittying, man.
Wow, you have a lot of episode titles going on. Yeah, man. We're swinging out here. We sitting on faces.
He's like, you're talking about ball sacks.
I know. I mean, yeah.
Little do they know.
Yeah.
Titties be tittying.
Nice.
Yeah.
Proud of you.
Rob was always beating me up for that because, not beating me up, but I would be like, I'm not eating carbs. And you're like, that's not a thing. That doesn't mean, yeah.
Only because it's like my idea, because I mean, granted, even though I'm a lot smaller, I've been through like similar with like weight. It was, and I know it's super warped because I've never really been much heavier than like 150 pounds.
Wow.
But I understand like the negative relationship that you can have with food, especially listening to the shit that other people say. Oh, don't eat this, and you should eat this, and portion that, and like, it's like, A, you have to find out like what works for you, mm-hmm. what your actual goals are. Are your goals to be brolic? Are your goals to be healthy? Are your goals to be somewhere in between? And also realizing that, yeah, BMI is a fucking white man's concept and it doesn't correlate to real healthiness, mm-hmm. but also understanding that it is a good thing to be healthy, mm-hmm. whatever that really looks like, because yeah, people be fucking dying. It's just a give and take that you got to figure out, but I'm here for you.
Tell us about your life, Rob.
Like the last episodes we had, you know, I was talking about SSRIs, and
let's reiterate what that is for people who are listening.
Okay, again, SSRIs 101.
Why is your eyebrow going up?
It went up. I didn't know. That's really cute.
Became the Rock.
I am the Rock. SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. So those are drugs are classified as like antidepressants. A lot of these like psychiatric disorders that have to deal with serotonin. So if you don't know what serotonin is, that's like the happy neurotransmitter. It's the neurotransmitter that gives you feelings of calmness and euphoria. And you get a lot of that when you do some drugs. But you have it in your head naturally. And depending on why you have these disorders, you know, you have issues with serotonin, you're not making enough, so basically the mechanism is you have two neurotransmitters, they give them as two fists, and one neurotransmitter would push out some serotonin like this, like, right? And then the other neurotransmitter, in order to give you the feeling of euphoria, it will take the neurotransmitters in like this. But if the neurotransmitter, like after done sucking it up, even if there's five molecules, it only sucks up one, the other neurotransmitter will suck four of them back. So the neurotransmitter didn't get a lot of serotonin.
Okay.
So this drug basically blocks the reuptake of the serotonin. So the other neuron could try to suck again, keep sucking it up. So you get more serotonin.
Okay.
Essentially.
That's really good. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's
amazing. Why do I know all this?
You're smart.
Yeah, I am. You're right. I be forgetting sometimes. I love it. So that's what I'm taking. Taking that for anxiety, PTSD, all that good stuff. And to reiterate, I'm covering sex and SSRIs because it is a known fact that SSRIs do affect your libido. It could affect your libido as in it makes it very difficult to ejaculate. It makes it, it can lower your libido as in you don't have desires for having sex, that you cannot have an orgasm, or it takes a very long time to have an orgasm, or things just feel different. So for me specifically, you know, I've been going up on the dosages for the past few months. And at first, I couldn't even orgasm. It took like 45 minutes of masturbating, where it used to take me 2, and my arms are getting tired, and I get lazy. Then I just started not feeling sexual at all. So I wasn't like taking nudes. I wasn't just like looking at my body or taking like my thirst traps that I'd be taking for the gram. I was just like, just existing.
Yeah.
And it bothered me because I feel like my sexuality is very embedded in my personality. And I always think of Okua when things like this happen.
I was like,
only because,
wait, you always think of Okua when?
It's the feet, baby. I just like going back to that all the time. But no, Akua said something in the, actually, ironically, the last episode of 2018, when you were talking about sex and your lack thereof, like how you were purposely not having it, because you said, who am I without dick? That was your discovery process. So my thing was like, who am I without sexual desire? And I didn't feel like myself. And then I had to be okay with not feeling like myself, because then I felt like bad, like why am I so linked to sex? Why can't I exist and not be a sexual being? But I think it was very important to accept that that is just a part of me that's important, and that's it's okay to not feel like, you know, 100% if I'm not feeling sexual. Yeah. If it's something that it's important to me.
Yeah.
I fall asleep with the vibrator down my pants leg sometimes because shit is just in. Basically, the dosage was increased. One of the concerns that we're going to be bringing up is how this medication is working with sex. Is it that I need a new medication, or is this like something that is a mental block? Because somebody mentioned that in, I think they messaged me specifically, a fan who listened to the episode that I was talking about. We were talking about all the masturbation I was going to do. Literally did not masturbate until last week.
Oh, wow.
Even after that episode, I was so excited. I literally did not masturbate till last week. It's been that hard. But they said that for them, it was a mental thing. They went to counseling and spoke about it, and then they were able to feel sexually more normally again. So just discovering like whether or not, is it the medication? Is it do I need more counseling, more specific counseling? Is it something coupled with both? Because the medication is working in some aspects and some aspects is not. And that's just trying to find the right combination or whatever. But as of last week, I've been masturbating a bit more regularly. Yay! I haven't had to touch my butthole because I be pooping anyway, and I know the cleanup shit, but I be trying to masturbate and go to sleep. Mm-hmm. So I'm not trying to clean nothing up. I will fall asleep with shit everywhere. So just saying. Back up. My boyfriend came to New York recently. I spent the night with him and we had sex. It was very brief, but we did it.
It was very brief.
It was brief. But he was horny. I was horny. But the thing is that since he's not on medication, he can nut now. So he nutted. And then that was kind of where the coitus ended. And I have yet to bring that up to him because we got to talk about that. Either way, I didn't have a chance to orgasm. And I was so fucking horny. Oh my God. I was thinking about sex 24/7. I'm like, I just need to nut. I want to feel what a nut feels like. Like, oh my, get to end my shit, daddy. So I went home and I've masturbated, but I couldn't watch regular porn. Mm. Like, I always watch the same kind of porn. It's been amateur, a lot of back shots, only black people. I would like find like things that would annoy me, like the music they were playing. Mm. Or that one time, I think I said like they had like watching South Park in the background. Somebody had a dog on the bed. Like, it was like a lot of shit. And I just like couldn't concentrate. Or like the titles, I'd be just very selective. Like the titles would throw me off. Oh, I fucked my stepsister's best friend. Yeah. And then my stepsister walked into the room with my girlfriend and we all fucked. Like shit like that. Or dirty Atlanta slut slot thing. And with my big black cock. Very odd. Yes. Yeah. And I'm like, girl, this is your girlfriend. This is the person that everything is all caps. And I'm like, this is the same person you make a video with every week.
Yep.
So this isn't the dirty Atlanta slut you talking about, unless you are in love with this dirty Atlanta slut.
Y'all have four kids.
Literally.
Own a home.
Literally. Because I know it's you, because she wear the same waist beats every time. And she got the same butterfly tattoo on them cheeks. But now she's a dirty slut, and now she's also your stepsister and your stepmom and your cousin and your classmate and your teacher because you want to get a high grade. Like, I have questions that need answers. So, you know, porn was like throwing me off. So I think I was also really tired of seeing straight people. I don't know. My moods towards people are changing. Yeah. It's very, very interesting transition I'm going to. So now I can only get off on gay porn. Like, it would have to be like two brolic masculine niggas, but then one of them is just like, ooh, he cranks it up one time for the one time. I don't know. Maybe I like niggas who like appear down low on porn.
Are you like trade porn?
Yeah, there you go. Trade porn. I like it when they look into each other's eyes and then also I like the threesome when it's like a dude fucking a dude fucking a dude. A stack? Oh shit, it's a stack.
Keep it a fucking stack.
Oh man. Bitch. Yeah, and then time. I started to feel guilty because I'm like, all right, because you know my boyfriend's bisexual, and I was wondering like, am I fetishizing gay men? And then that is something that I'm trying to like figure out because I don't even understand what that entails. It's not like I'm going out of my way to talk to gay men or date gay men or anything like that. I just only like gay porn. But I'm like, I also like men. So watching two men have sex, it's like two men. I love men.
Never say that again. On this show. Not on
I
this
hate
show.
Niggas, but I love
I'm going to rip your fucking tattoo off.
Men are trash. I didn't say men aren't trash. But
men are
I
trash
love them.
And I love them.
There was a gay porn stage for me, and it was
we all go through it.
I go
I'm
through
still
it.
In stage. It.
I'm
still in
it.
I live in it.
I don't watch the same porn, the same type of porn every time I watch porn. It's really whatever mood I was in. And I was in this mood where I missed the mannerisms of men. It's like this masculine energy that I can't name it, but you see it in gay porn.
Yes,
and I was on that shit for a while. Yes. Like just. Woo, I'm getting hot.
I get it. But that's what I mean.
There was just something. There's this aggression. There was just something. I don't know. But I was in that mode where I was missing it. And I was like, I need some gay porn. And I typed it in. And we went. And we were all.
I don't know. I just like masculine ass niggas to fuck each other. That's what I've been going for. And I mean, it's been nice to masturbate. It's been nice to enjoy porn. It's been nice to feel more sexual. But me and Leon we gotta talk about sex. So that's also a tricky place to navigate, because you also like, oh, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And I didn't take it like personally. I just think that that's something that he didn't consider. Mm-hmm. But I also, if I don't complain about it, then it don't seem like it's an issue. So I do gotta say something.
Maybe not coming from a stance of complaint, but a conversation of, this is what I would like out of sex with you. So like, not, you know, last time we had sex it ended because you came and that was it, but like more of a, I would like to continue even after you ejaculate, so we can bring in my toys, or you know.
Yep.
Not a, you failed on this part, but I would like this.
Just flip it into, well, not necessarily a positive, but like something that moves you guys forward, as opposed to like, that sucked, I hate you. Like, it doesn't have to be that.
Yeah,
which would be
yeah,
fucking,
greedy
would
bastard.
Be fucking hilarious, but
yeah, and just and rolling God, over.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's mad funny.
Or even, you know, knowing that it takes you on your medication, it takes you a longer time to orgasm. Like pointing that out again, like, you know, you're not on your medication, so it's coming like waves on the cliff for you. But it takes me it's coming. But it's taking me a little bit more time, and I want you to remember that, you know.
It's like, even if you could hold back your ejaculation for just a second. But if you can't,
yeah, you know,
don't get up and just clean yourself off. Just, you know.
Remember, I still got 20 minutes before I get there.
Thank you for sharing, Rob. Keep us updated. I'm loving the SSSR. I always put too many S's. The Sri. Yeah, I like the series.
Thanks.
My fuck me. Obviously, we have the How Samantha Got Her Groove Back challenge, where I go on a date every week and report back to you how it is. Last season, I gave you cute dates. This season, you give me some control where I go on the dates. Let's get my groove back together. First up, before I talk about this past week's date, we have a cute date idea suggestion from our geneticist, coin turned by Rodeca. And our geneticist is Dr. Janina Jeff, host of the In Those Genes podcast, now available everywhere you listen to podcasts at the moment that you're listening to this episode. Janina's suggestion is New York City based, but it's also out of New York City modifiable. So if you live in New York City and you love Black women and you love classic films, you can hit up Film Forum, which is a nonprofit theater. And currently they're holding a month-long film festival of pictures starring trailblazing Black actresses. So you got everything from Carmen Jones, starring Dorothy Dandridge, Anna Lucasta, starring Eartha Kitt. They have Set It Off, starring like Queen Latifah and Jada Pinkett Smith. They have mad stuff and it looks really cool, so I definitely want to check it out. It ends February 13th, and you can head over to Film Forum's website in the show notes to copy your tickets. And if you're not based in New York City, you can post up with your bae and have a Black woman marathon inspired by Film Forum's list. And you can find that list in the show notes. Thank you, Janina, for that. Yesterday, this past week's date, I went to the New Museum to check out some contemporary art, and they had two exhibits open. One exhibit was like what fungus would look like if it was big or something like that.
Oh, that sounds disturbing.
It didn't look that bad, but it was just like, awesome. I don't care. So that's nice.
What if fungus was human size?
Yeah, no, it was really big.
Oh my gosh.
Like the size of the crucifix, but like hanging on the ceiling.
Oh.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah,
it made my skin crawl.
And then there was another installation of, it was like a CGI series of a woman going through things. The first one we saw was like a white woman on a conveyor belt and she was crawling for 10 minutes. And like we watched it for like more than I would have liked to have watched that because what the fuck was going on?
what?
I don't know. It was like, what was it called?
Hamster kind of thing?
No. 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 She was just like
crawling on it.
Trying.
Okay.
What was it called? It was called something to do with symptoms. So I thought that the point of it was like, if you continuously, I thought it was like a commentary on the healthcare system and that there are certain metrics of like BMI, for example, like certain non-existent metrics of healthiness that you're constantly trying to achieve, even though you'll never achieve because they're bullshit and rooted in capitalism.
Okay.
And then the guy I was on a date with read the description and he was just like, it says that she's running from a zombie. And I was like, oh, okay. I thought that.
Sam saw like this deep message, like, oh, you can never run fast enough because it'll always be unattainable. And he's like, nah, zombies, bro.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, maybe the artist meant more than that, but didn't want to like put it in the little blurb because like it's up to you to blah blah blah, whatever. Okay. I don't fucking know. Then there was a CGI. This one like looked visually more interesting and I looked it up and I got the backstory behind it, but I didn't really like the backstory. So it was like a white woman, very skinny. She had like green eyes. She's like in an inflatable suit and she has a whole bunch of scars on her face. I think this one is called Infection Driver. She has a whole bunch of scars on her face and the suit just keeps reinflating and deflating. But when it inflates, it like looked blacker. Like it looked browner. And I'm just like, I don't know if that's like me looking too much into this or like what the fuck is going on. So when it inflated, it got brolic. And I just...
I have to go to the new museum.
I don't know. It's free, so sure.
I don't know what's going on over there, but it seems like a good time.
When I looked it up, it said it was a commentary on like desirability and like that's why it was reinflating and deflating. Like there's these ever-changing, once again, metrics of like what
is desirable.
Yeah. Yeah. But like why in the suit was a skinny white woman? So yeah. Like what are you trying to prove? And why the fuck does it keep turning into a brolic dark person?
Mm-hmm.
And why are there scars on your face? But why is I don't know.
I don't know. I mean this shit is weird. And I mean man. It sounds like you didn't go to a very good museum.
It wasn't great, but like they also had First Saturdays yesterday and we were like, nice. Should we go to, I didn't go.
Oh.
I was like, he was like, should we go to Brooklyn Museum First Saturdays? And I was like, no, because everybody and their fucking mom is going to be
there. That's true.
Yeah. And I want to be able to walk.
That's true.
Secondly, I want to be able to walk and move and navigate. And two, like, what if you're fucking ugly?
Oh.
Like, or what if I don't want to be seen with you in person? Like, I don't know. Maybe I just don't want to be here.
You don't want the fans to come up to you like, hey, Sam. And then you was ugly ass nigga.
I don't know.
Pretty often.
Everybody's at the Brooklyn Museum all the time.
I've seen niggas that I curved on Tinder who are like,
everybody's at the Brooklyn Museum all the time.
Yeah.
He was not ugly. Then we went to get food from Phoebe's and it was not good food, but we had a really long, good conversation. So
that's good.
That was yesterday's date. Yeah.
Shout out to you.
Yeah.
You did it.
Thank you.
Let's face it. We all can step into our bag sometimes. I be in my bag. My schedule conflicts with my actual counselor, the one I go to normally. So I have been out of therapy for a while. And I was definitely feeling all of my symptoms of depression and anxiety weighing on my life. So I decided to use BetterHelp. And it's definitely been significantly more convenient than anything I've ever used. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in under 24 hours. It is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. There is a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's counselor network, which may not be locally available in many areas. BetterHelp is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you don't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. So I video chat my therapist. I eat ice cream. I lay on the floor. Aww. I show her my plants. I show her my dogs. And also, she's been helpful in the real world by connecting me with a new psychiatrist so I can have medication management. Oh, that's awesome. Because I was definitely struggling with that. So she helped me with my insurance. She's just, it's more than just simple counseling. And also, she is... I have somebody who's spiritual as well. So one question she asked me was, do you see things that other people don't see? And she's like, but I'm not talking about premonitions. I'm not talking about spirits. I'm not talking about this and that. I'm talking about straight up hallucinations, like a whale walking down the block. And I was like, you know what? I've never had somebody consider anything medium-ish, anything spiritual to not like, to just completely separate that. Like, you know what? If you say you have premonitions, I believe you. And that's not what I'm talking about. Mm. That does not mean you're mentally unhealthy. So that was really nice.
That's
very relatable. Therapist that they have on there. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. Visit betterhelp.com/IHU, that's Better H-E-L-P, and join the over 700,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Special offer for Inner Hole Uprising listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/IHU. That's BETTERHELP.com/IHU.
All right, let's get into our last segment of the day. It is called
Fuck You.
And it is the segment about your sexual, romantic, and dating lives. If you would like to ask us for some advice, share your hotels, or rant against the white cishet patriarchy, send your thoughts to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Do not forget to include your pronouns. Also, because we are in the future, you can leave us a voicemail and we'll play it and respond to it on the show. So if you want to do that, you can call us at 404-491-9158. Once again, 404-491-9158. Coolest favorite song. No, it is not the Mike Jones song.
I said the same thing.
Okay, so today we have a story from Five. It does involve, not in graphic detail, but he mentions men experiencing sexual assault. So I want to put a content warning there. In the show notes, you'll see exactly where this begins and exactly where this ends. So you can skip it if you don't want to listen to it. And Five's pronouns are he and him. This is actually responding to a conversation that Rodecca and I had on the episode Shit Happens. I'll put the link to that in the show notes so you can listen to that before you listen to this. So Five writes, hi guys, I want to write in because this is a topic I've been writing about because a recent traumatic experience has resurfaced, buried memories, and made me realize things about other men's experiences that I don't think I had the tools to comfortably address when we spoke about them or when I saw it happening. I just want to add in about the pressure that comes from homophobia, that it's not always the guy's friends that they have to worry about. So me and Rodecca talked about the fact that sometimes when men are sexually assaulted or in an instance where they don't want to have sex and are being coerced, they don't want to tell someone that they've been assaulted, or they don't want to advocate for themselves when they're being coerced because of fear that they will be called gay.
Yes.
Taking it back, I just want to add in about the pressure that comes from homophobia, that it's not always the guy's friends that they have to worry about. I remember in high school, my teammate on the football team had a falling out with a girl who was trying to get him to cheat, even though he was celibate for religious reasons. She went around telling everybody that he was gay because he refused to have sex with her. Contrary to what we would assume of a high school football team, we were the ones understanding and trying to console him. The damage was his girlfriend leaving him either because she thought that was the real reason he wouldn't have sex with her, or because she was being bullied by other girls, calling her a quote-unquote beard, or saying that she quote-unquote turned him gay, etc. Similarly, I've heard other men's accounts and seen it in action that the homophobia from their friends isn't always what bothers them, but rather the homophobia from their partners and or potential partners. I personally have had an experience where I was being threatened by someone who was taking advantage of the optics and what most people would assume from the outside looking in. It's one of those buried memories because those optics were skewed against me that I don't even know if I can ever feel safe revealing what happened. And I've recently begun to wonder how many men have been placed in that kind of situation, having realized how much things like the legal system can be weaponized by abusers against Black men in particular. I do definitely agree that a lot of the pressure to hide being assaulted is caused by homophobia in men's support groups or internally in themselves. I've seen both personally and just from being a fly on the wall. But I think there's also other factors that we don't tend to consider because they're so bizarre and unfamiliar in our media and in our conversations about these topics.
That was just very well thought out. And I was thinking like, wow, it's great that somebody is writing in and kind of like, it's not great that they're resonating, but I feel like they're starting to come to grips with something mm-hmm. that they wouldn't otherwise be able to even think about. And I hate that it's happening, but I hate that it's like even worse for people to talk or to own their own bodies because they're going to be called gay. And like, that's not a bad thing. Again, can we just talk about that, please? But also, it's just like, it's nice that his group, like the high school team, was consoling him as opposed to like ostracizing him, which is what I guess you would expect.
It reminds me that sex isn't just exclusively about sexuality. Like sex in itself is cultural and it's spiritual and it's physical, it's not physical, it's so many different things. So when you only have sex binding to sexuality, it removes the independence of the person and it makes their decision seem not what it is. You don't give them the right to choose for themselves. I do get that. I've seen it. Like, people just like, I just don't want to have sex with her. And it's like, oh, what's that line? Your girl don't like me. How long has she been gay? And it's like, no, nigga, like, also.
I've never heard that before.
That's Kanye West. Okay. But then that's also, I've heard that a lot in rap songs, but that's only talking about women. But
oh, yeah.
It's like the idea that other genders can perpetuate that kind of stereotype that if you don't want to have sex with this person or these people, that automatically you just don't like them. You're not sexually attracted to them. It's like, also, some people just don't be wanting to have sex. You can be sexually attracted to people that you don't want to fuck, but that's a conversation y'all not ready for.
that also excludes asexual people. I could be romantically attracted to you and not want to have sex with you. Mm. You know.
Yeah, it's just like so much learning that has to go into that. And unfortunately, that's just a facet of bullying in schools, especially. It's just bullying people because of perceived homosexuality, whether or not they are. It's like, well, this is a sore point for everybody on earth, so I'm gonna pick at it and we're not gonna fuck with you for even if whether or not you're gay. It's like, it's a whole cultural thing in America that it's like really unfortunate. I feel like maybe it's changing a bit. People are definitely becoming more accepting of perceived homophobia, people not wanting to fuck. Like that study that you guys are talking about, how many people are saying that they like actually aren't having sex, and people are starting to admit that they're like not fucking. People, not everybody's interested in sex, and yeah. It just like is what it is.
I also want to bring race into the conversation because you did mention that I thought that the paragraph about optics was a bit vague, and I think that was like done intentionally because it's something that you are still processing, and you, like you said, you're not ever fully ready to process it. But something that I grabbed from that was like how the quote unquote optics can be used to be weaponized by abusers against Black men. And I think about like how not only patriarchy not dictates, but says certain things that we hold to be true about who is sexual and who is not and when they're sexual and when they're not. But racism also dictates that. Mm-hmm. So like there is like the myth that Black women are always super horny. Yep. And just so there's also the myth that Black men are super horny. So I think like in regard to that, I don't know what the race of your abuser is. Not saying that that's even like, that might not even be relevant because Black people can weaponize anti-Blackness towards mm-hmm, Black people yeah. as well. But I mean, I just think that there's something to the fact that I could definitely see instances with like white women being like, you niggas are always fucking horny. I see you niggas always horny in these rap videos and these basketball players. What the fuck you mean you don't want to fuck me?
Exactly. I definitely can see that being a straw conversation. Like, oh, y'all always be fucking.
Yep.
Oh, you don't want to fuck me?
Right.
It's like, no.
No, actually.
For several reasons. Not just because you're white. And even though that doesn't help. But it's like, you shouldn't have to defend.
You shouldn't even have to provide a reason.
Facts. Yeah. It's just,
no,
like,
is no.
It just is what it is. There shouldn't even be a conversation unless you yourself want to have one. But also, you don't have to.
Right.
The world is tricky, man.
I just can't imagine having like the gall or the confidence or just like,
The audacity.
Thank you. Like, if someone's not attracted to me, like, they can't be attracted to my entire gender. Like, that's it. Like, no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Or like the opposite, when you find out somebody is gay, you're just like, oh, well, I'm not interested in you.
Yeah,
where the fuck did that come from? Yeah, it's just weird. Like, I don't know. Fucking weird. People are weird.
People are weird. I've never been like, oh, the guy doesn't want to fuck me.
Is he gay?
Like, it's just, oh, he doesn't want to fuck me. Well, that's very unfortunate because this pussy is flames.
I've never said, oh, if you don't want to fuck me, you're gay. But I'm not going to cap and be like, when I was younger, I didn't find it weird if a guy that I was coming on to wasn't sexually, like, reciprocative.
Oh,
like, if we've been sexual in the past. Not saying I was out here, like, these people in the last episode, like, sexually assaulting people. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think that is an ingrained thing that I had in my mind. Like, why do you not want to have sex?
Mm-hmm.
I think that, but I was thinking more like, not automatically he must be gay. It's just like, you do kind of feel like, oh, you should want to have sex or something like that. And I think we were talking about that, like, about that's just something that's common, but then you have to break it down and be like, no, they could just not want to have sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess more so with me, I always internalize it like, oh, it must be me. I'm not cute enough. I'm too masculine or whatever. Like, it was never them. A thought on them. It was like, okay, you're just not attracted to me. But then again, niggas will fuck a sponge.
I think it was case by case, because I felt both ways. Like, if it was someone that I've been previously sexual with and I'm coming on to, all right, I know you're attracted to me.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it? And I had to learn as I got older, just like, I don't always want to fuck.
Right.
Nobody else always is ready to go.
It's true. We're not sex robots.
We are not sex robots. I do not press a couple buttons and he's like, all right, let's pop. No.
Booty, pop, pop, fuck.
But definitely if I came on to someone who I hadn't been sexual with or was new, I would, and they rejected me or were not interested, I would think, it's me. You know, it's internalized. And also had to reframe and rethink that as well. Like,
right. It might not have anything to fucking do with you. We're so egocentric.
Or even if he's not attracted to you, he ain't attracted. Like, they're not attracted to you.
It might not even be that, like, you're ugly or something. Exactly. It's just like,
you not they type.
Like, I like bitches who look like Cardi B and you don't. Not even physically, just the way that they dress. I don't like the way that you dress. You're cute, but you dress like a crayon and I'm just not here for it. Like, it's just, you know, there's so many facets to attraction. So it's like, it's so many things. Like, you don't know if that guy who he was in high school with, if he was dating somebody else, he might have been like, yo, fuck my pledge. I'm having sex. Or he could have held on to that shit forever.
Yeah.
Like, and really waited till marriage and would have been mad tight if he never got married.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so many levels to it. Like, don't be fucking down a nigga say they're not trying to fuck. He probably is jerking off vigorously.
or not.
Vigorously.
I want to provide a resource in case you are listening and you are a man or a man that you know is a survivor of sexual assault. Also, this is a resource that can be used for any survivors of sexual assault. So feel free. But if you need space to talk about that, you can hit up RAIN, which is the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network. You can call their 24-hour hotline at 1-800-656-4673 or 1-800-656-HOPE. Or you can hop on their live chat, which is at rain.org, both of which will be in the show notes for this episode. If this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher and let everyone you know know that you love these hosts. We appreciate you all. What are our social medias?
At Inaho Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inaho Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our Facebook community, which is Inaho Uprising Community.
Pun.
You can go to InahoUprising.com to pay a hoe and buy some merch. You guys can follow me. At Akua.
Can we?
At Akua.
Sure? At Akua, that's right.
I guess, yeah.
You guys can follow me at Hey Akua Girl on Instagram and Twitter.
You can follow me, Rodeca, on Instagram at The Darkest Timeline and on Twitter at Exist and Crisis.
It's very funny.
Yes. Oh, I didn't know you changed it.
I did.
Interesting.
You're like, who is that? You can follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter and Carmen San Diego for travel and food photos.
You can follow me. I'm Clint.Yeetwood at Instagram.com.
What the fuck is going on?
I'm Rob the underscore God on Twitter. I'm Vanta.Black with a Q for my art Instagram.
Yes.
And I'll be okay.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.